Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. will join us from Washington, D.C. in approximately 1 hour from now. We have a series of very, very interesting stories this morning to cover for you. One is in the realm of antiwar.com. The main essay today, this morning, is entitled Big Win for Ouattara, A Study in Courage and Honor. That's something, of course, that also cross-references with Truth Out. Harmony Grant of the National Prayer Network has an alert entitled Hate Laws, Melting the Sword of the Law. According to globalresearch.ca, there are seven countries that are considering abandoning the U.S. dollar. We'll maybe take a look at that story for a while this morning. Can't take this one over the air because it involves video, but YouTube has posted Charles Lindbergh's September the 11th, 1941 speech in Des Moines, Iowa. That one is well worth your time. I took a look at it last night. Eric Margolis has a very fine essay entitled Washington Stirs a Witch's Brew in Pakistan, and Pat Buchanan has a post at WorldNet Daily entitled Is World War III on Hold? This is something that continues to proliferate through the net. These reports that certain people in the American military, especially Admiral Fallon, are trying to get the administration to see some sense when it comes to the dangers of attacking Iran. And finally, the New York Times. We were hopeful we'd look at yesterday and did not have time to, has a report entitled Case Touches a Second Amendment Nerve. What's the latest out there on something going on in Washington, D.C. that may affect your gun rights one way or the other? But this whole story at Jewish Telegraphic Agency on Ron Paul. Ever heard of a group called Jews for Ron Paul? The Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which describes itself as the global news service of the Jewish people, has a story on this today, written by a young lady by the name of Beth Young. This has a Washington byline, and again comes to us from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. It says that Jim Perry, a 22-year-old libertarian, made a name for himself in college when shortly after moving to New Hampshire to live free or die, he strapped a gun to his side and marched into a local Borders bookstore and proceeded to rip up a copy of his Massachusetts income tax return. That sort of fighting spirit is a job requirement in his new post, executive director of the group Jews for Ron Paul. Paul's candidacy was dismissed early on, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, due to his support from white supremacist, libertarian, and other fringe groups. But the campaign has begun to pick up steam on college campuses and on the Internet, in part due to his staunch anti-war stance. Longtime Texas congressman Paul raised $4.2 million on November the 5th from 37,000 individual donors who agreed to give as part of a money bomb on the anniversary of the failed plot of British mercenary Guy Fawkes to kill King James I in 1605. In September, he announced that he brought in $5.2 million in the previous 3 months, putting him ahead of John McCain in the Republican money race. Even as Paul makes headway in some circles, organized Jewish support for his Republican presidential bid is nearly non-existent, thanks to the candidate's long-standing stance against providing foreign aid, including U.S. assistance to Israel. The Republican-Jewish coalition pointedly did not invite him to participate in its candidates' forum last month, even though his fundraising ability and popularity on the Internet make him a dark horse with potential to upend the primary race. His reported support from extremist groups, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, hasn't helped win him favor among Jews. Still, Paul commands a loyal, albeit small, Jewish following. This Jewish support has followed the same pattern as Paul's backing from other groups, coming from out-of-the-way places on the Internet and taking mainstream media and political organizations by surprise. In addition to Perry's Jews for Ron Paul, there is Zionists for Ron Paul, an outfit launched by Yehuda HaKohen, an American immigrant to Israel, and some of his friends back in the United States. What's behind this Jewish Telegraphic Agency story? We'll continue with that when Mark Dankoff's America continues live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will join us.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Getting back to this Jewish Telegraphic Agency story from Beth Young this morning with the Washington byline. There are Jews and Zionists for Ron Paul. What's behind this story? Very interesting one. In addition to Perry's Jews for Ron Paul, there is, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, an outfit called Zionists for Ron Paul, launched by Yehuda HaKohen, an American immigrant to Israel, and some of his friends back in the United States. Some of Paul's Jewish supporters, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, believe that it would be best for Israel if the United States kept out of Jerusalem's affairs. There are also those who believe that American aid to Israel is dangerous because it feeds the perception that Jewish interests wield too much influence over U.S. foreign policy. Quote, many of us believe the current relationship between the United States and Israel is a very unhealthy relationship, like that of a man and concubine or a slave and master, unquote, Hawk Cohen said. Quote, we think that Israel should be an ally to the United States, but not a vassal to the United States, he added. I don't think it's important for me as an Israeli for America to defend me. I don't think it's morally appropriate for American soldiers to fight for Iran and me, to fight Iran for me. American aid does more harm than good. These are insults to our national sovereignty, unquote. While traveling from Washington to New Hampshire to campaign earlier this month, Paul provided a statement to JTA, or Jewish Telegraphic Agency, explaining his position on Israel. Paul said, I support free trade and friendship with all nations, meaning that my administration would treat Israel as a friend and trading partner. Americans would be encouraged to travel to and trade with Israel. Our foreign military aid to Israel is actually more like corporate welfare to the U.S. military-industrial complex, as Israel is forced to purchase only U.S. products with the assistance. We send almost twice as much aid to other countries in the Middle East, which only ensures increased militarization and the drive toward war, unquote. In fact, says the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, combined U.S. aid to Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, and other friendly Arab nations is roughly commensurate with the $2.4 billion military aid package Israel currently gets. Quote, we have adopted a foreign policy, says Ron Paul, that has left Israel surrounded by militaristic nations while undermining Israel's sovereignty by demanding that its foreign and defense policies be essentially pre-approved in Washington. That's a bad deal for Israel, as sovereign nations must determine on their own what is the most appropriate national defense. On foreign policy as well, the U.S. steps in to prevent Israel from engaging in dialogue with nations of which the U.S. administration disapproves, unquote. Paul is an obstetrician from the small town of Lake Jackson, Texas, who served in Congress in the 1970s and 80s as a libertarian, then worked as a doctor before returning to Congress in 1997 as a Republican. He's fiercely pro-life and opposed to gun control, believes American monetary policy must be reconnected to the gold standard, and advocates an isolationist foreign policy. Paul's campaign manager, Lou Moore, deflected questions about Paul's support from neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Quote, Ron Paul has beliefs that resonate with people. He empowers an individual's right to free association. A lot of people like that, Moore said. He does not believe in foreign aid going to any nation, but that does not have anything to do with individual groups, unquote. Moore said he has visited the website of Jews for Ron Paul, but hasn't worked with the group and doesn't know anything about the size of its membership. The Paul campaign, he added, was disappointed but not surprised that Paul had not been invited to speak at the recent Republican Jewish Coalition Forum. The campaign manager also said that he knew of no Jewish groups that had asked Paul to speak. The Republican Jewish Coalition spokeswoman said that Paul's isolationist stance contradicts her group's belief in strengthening U.S. ties with Israel. Paul's consistent record of voting against aid to Israel was a factor in the group's decision not to invite the candidate, Suzanne Kurtz said. Kurtz also said the format of the forum, which gave each candidate 45 minutes to address the audience, meant there was not time for all of the candidates to appear. Only Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, John McCain, Sam Brownback, and Fred Thompson spoke. Brownback has since dropped out of the race. Quote, it's been clear throughout Ron Paul's tenure in Congress that his positions regarding Israel and the Middle East are significantly outside the mainstream of the Republican Party, Kurtz said. We hold Paul's positions as both wrong for Israel and wrong for America. Because of these positions, Paul does not enjoy any support from the top leadership of the Republican Jewish Coalition, unquote. Hadar Suskind, the Washington director for the Jewish Council on Public Affairs, said that his organization has had little interaction with Paul during his tenure in Congress, in part due to the fact that Paul has received very few committee appointments. Quote, Ron Paul is an interesting political figure. For good or for bad, he takes public positions that are unpopular within his party, said Suskind, whose organization does not endorse candidates. Quote, but he's not a member who we've had a tremendous amount of interaction with, unquote. Perry of Jews for Ron Paul acknowledged that there's been a stigma attached to Paul's candidacy due to the right-wing extremist groups that support him, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Quote, I'm supporting Ron Paul, says Perry, because he supports the Constitution. When the freedom message brings people together like this does, people start changing their views, unquote. For Perry, an Orthodox Jew, there is a connection between his own religious beliefs about personal responsibility and the libertarian philosophy underpinning Paul's candidacy. Quote, it's the idea that people are meant to be equal and free in a just society. Those are the same things that draw me to be an observant Orthodox Jew, said Perry, who commands an internet forum whose advisors include political and law professors spanning the country. I believe Judaism puts strong emphasis on individual meaning and personal responsibility, Perry said, adding that God calls us to take responsibility for our own actions, unquote. Perry said that his internet forum is advised by political and law professors spanning the entire nation. In addition to the 12-member board, the group has 48 members on its Facebook site and 80 members signed into its Yahoo account. Perry often tells the story of one white supremacist that he's become friendly with at Ron Paul meetups. Quote, here I am, a kippah-wearing, fringes-hanging Orthodox Jew, and he had a tattoo with the National Alliance. He starts to see me as a human being, Perry said. I've met him 7 times, and I've gotten him to drop the title of white supremacist. He's getting his tattoo covered up. I think that freedom message, when really taken seriously, brings us together. I would be very comfortable inviting him over for a Shabbos dinner, unquote. Hawk Cohen of Zionists for Ron Paul acknowledged that Paul's followers include groups that might make Jews uncomfortable, but he sees the campaign as an effort to broadly redefine the American political landscape. Quote, I've never been excited in my life by an American politician. I never heard an American politician speak the language he's speaking. He's avoided nothing and answered honestly, he said. That's why a lot of young people, liberals, college students back him. I'm sure a lot of Arabs support him. If you have Zionists, Muslims, and white supremacists supporting him, he's someone who really resonates with people, unquote. Hawk Cohen is a member of the Zionist Freedom Alliance, a student movement on 20 college campuses in America dedicated to Israeli nationalism. The group is socially liberal, but takes a hard right stance on Israeli border issues. Despite his enthusiasm, Hawk Cohen is not getting his hopes up about the GOP candidate's chances. Quote, I can see how people might dismiss him, Hawk Cohen said. He's not going to win, unquote. Very, very interesting to take this article and to look through it. What does it mean? What does it mean? You know, when you start looking at this whole business of what Beth Young has posted at the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, I think it's abundantly clear that when it comes to the whole question of Israel, Ron Paul, I think, is on the correct side of that debate as far as the foreign aid issue is concerned. And he sees that as a part of a larger package of a non-foreign aid situation as it pertains to the American foreign policy relationship with virtually every nation on the face of the earth. I support Ron Paul in that regard, and I think his belief on the foreign aid question stems from good, sound political and economic sense, as well as his understanding of the American Constitution. No question about that, and I'm with Ron Paul all the way on that score. However, when it comes to the whole question of Israel, I think we need to look a little bit more deeply at the whole issue of interventionism, as Ron Paul, of course, has talked about that repeatedly in the campaign, the dangers of an American empire being involved in an interventionist foreign policy abroad. Without question, that's a part of the reasoning, I think, behind what Congressman Paul has said and not said on the subject of Israel. I think it explains his voting record in the Congress on this subject for a very long period of time. I'm with him on that as well. So I think the foreign aid issue is one thing that can be underscored. The dangers of an interventionist foreign policy, either in the Middle East or elsewhere, is a part of the package of Ron Paul's votes over the years and the things that he has said. By the same token, I don't think Congressman Paul has yet come forth to say certain things that I think need to be said about the Zionist entity. Will he in the future? We'll see. This is Mark Dan Cos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will join us at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them on to sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
This is Mark Dan Cos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking a little bit this morning at this very interesting story from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which of course describes itself as the Global News Service of the Jewish People. It's a Beth Young piece entitled Ron Paul's Call to End Foreign Aid Draws Small Jewish Following. With a Washington byline, there are a number of things that I'd like to say about this article. First is that there are some factual inaccuracies in it. Ron Paul was not serving in Congress at any point with the Libertarian Party. He did, of course, run as a candidate for the Libertarian Party for president in 1988. All of his service in the Congress of the United States has been with the Republican Party. That's the first thing that needs to be corrected in this article. You know, it's fascinating as you read through the rest of the piece. It seems to me that what we are dealing with here is a backhanded acknowledgement on the part of the global Jewish establishment that Ron Paul is having an impact, more of an impact than, of course, the Jewish establishment has wanted him to have. Now, having said that, Isn't it interesting that the typical canards about the Ron Paul candidacy that we have seen in the establishment press managed to weave their way into this Jewish Telegraphic Agency piece, the notion that Ron Paul is essentially someone connected with so-called white supremacist groups and other fringe groups, to quote Beth Young of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency here. This is a way of continuing to create the idea that lurking behind the Paul candidacy is a white supremacist agenda, a racist agenda, that in fact Ron Paul is, in truth, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency's intimations, supported by an antisocial, dangerous element in American society that is out there on the periphery, that has all kinds of dark people and ideologies and personalities associated with it. Those things, of course, are all lies. Those things are all a part of a radical left-wing caricature of an essentially decent man who has a constitutional limited government perspective. But nonetheless, these kinds of broad paintbrush strokes of innuendo come forth in this Jewish Telegraphic Agency piece in a way that needs to be talked about up front. The other thing that's very fascinating to me about this article is that I think Ron Paul is going to need to be careful. These organizations, Jews for Ron Paul, Zionists for Ron Paul, I don't know the individuals involved in these groups. Jim Perry, the 22-year-old libertarian, using the Jewish Telegraphic Agency description here, may be a very decent guy. I hope that he is. And his group, Jews for Ron Paul, may be a sincere organization. I don't know this gentleman. I don't know the people who were involved with this group. We have to reserve judgment on this and give somebody a chance. We cannot automatically assume, of course, that anybody is dishonorable simply because they have an association or two that are not necessarily our own. However, this other group, Zionists for Ron Paul, put together by Mr. Ha Cohen here, that's an organization to me that really demands greater scrutiny. Greater scrutiny. Yehuda Ha Cohen, an American immigrant to Israel, who has founded this group called Zionists for Ron Paul. It seems to me that properly understood, Ron Paul's foreign policy position is incompatible with Zionism. Zionism, of course, among other things, believes that the entire financial and economic and political largesse of the United States should be at the beck and call of the Zionist entity in the Middle East. That's incompatible with what Ron Paul believes about the Constitution and about America First. It's incompatible with what Ron Paul believes about foreign aid. It's incompatible with what Ron Paul believes in regard to the New World Order. And that is a fundamental inconsistency with this Zionists for Ron Paul organization, it seems to me, that bears closer inspection. What is the agenda of that group, Zionists for Ron Paul? Who is Yehuda Ha Cohen? I think that's a whole situation, again, that requires closer inspection. Closer inspection. A couple of other statements in this Jewish Telegraphic Agency article. Some of Ron Paul's Jewish supporters believe, according to the JTA, that it would be best for Israel if the United States kept out of Jerusalem's affairs. Frankly, I think that needs to be turned around. I think it is important and significant and desirable and mandatory that Jerusalem keep out of the affairs of the United States, not vice versa. There are those, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, who believe that American aid to Israel is dangerous because it feeds the perception that the Jews wield too much influence over U.S. foreign policy. I believe that that's not only a perception. I believe that that's reality. Take a look at these Federal Election Commission lists, folks. Take a look at who it is that owns the American news media. Why is it that we're not hearing anything right now about the AIPAC spy scandal? Start examining all of those issues, as well as the recent statements by both Hillary Clinton and Rudolph Giuliani, and it becomes abundantly clear who controls the foreign policy of the United States. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will join us at approximately 8 o'clock this morning from Washington, D.C. Dale, of course, is the longtime host of the radio show Focus on Israel on WFAX-AM up in Washington. Dale Crowley, I've said many times, is one of the real giants, and I mean giants, in the anti-Zionist movement in this country, the responsible wing, I should say, of the anti-Zionist movement. When you start looking at some of the most significant people on the Protestant evangelical right who have not been bought off by the Zionist propaganda promoted by the Scofield Reference Bible type of eschatology, there are a number of names that come to mind. Dale Crowley Jr. is one of five or six of the most significant names that I think this country has produced in regard to this whole question of a biblically based anti-Zionist position. Dale Crowley Jr., Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network comes to mind. Bedros Hodgian, of course, who is originally not from this country, but an Armenian who grew up, as I remember this, in Lebanon, in a Lutheran orphanage, I think he told me one day on the phone. And Pastor Hodgin is now based in Los Angeles and is a pastor, a very, very significant pastor, doing a lot of very, very difficult and challenging things in ministry with the Church of the Nazarene. Chuck Carlson, of course, my old friend at We Hold These Truths, also comes to mind. Herman Otten of Christian News, my Lutheran editor of Christian News for, these many, many years, is another name that I would include with this very select group. And then, of course, when you get outside the United States, Stephen Sizer, the author of Christian Zionism, comes to mind, the very, very important Anglican priest who's put together a lot of important things that you're going to be hearing more about in the months and the years ahead, assuming that we have years. And that's a big assumption at this point. But these are some of the names in Protestant evangelicalism that have not bowed the knee to Baal, it seems to me. Stephen Sizer, Dale Crowley, Ted Pike, Bedros Hodgin, Chuck Carlson, and Herman Otten come immediately to mind. I probably have omitted somebody who's very significant on this list, but I was just thinking about some of these matters when I was doing some reading and studying at 2 o'clock in the morning, and just put these names down on an envelope as the ones that immediately come to my mind that have had an incredible influence and an incredible witness for Christ and an incredible witness for the truth and for the American Constitution in a very, very dark age. So we're very privileged to have had Dale Crowley Jr. on this show in the past, and we're very privileged to have him on today. Getting back then to this whole question of Ron Paul and the so-called Jews and Zionists. For Ron Paul, this article that Beth Young of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency has posted from Washington, we need to keep an eye on these organizations. What is their agenda? Who's behind them? Do they present an opportunity for Ron Paul, or do they represent a danger for him? At least in the case of one of these two groups, the jury is still out on that. The Jews for Ron Paul group may or may not have merit. And this fellow Jim Perry, who is mentioned here, the 22-year-old libertarian from Massachusetts, may in fact be a very fine young man. I hope that that's the case, and I hope that Jews for Ron Paul is what it appears to be. And if it is, then I think it's a positive thing. But we'll have to keep an eye on it. This other one, Zionists for Ron Paul. Again, I find the conflict between Zionism and the ideology of Ron Paul to be so crystal clear that I, frankly, am more suspicious of this latter group. And as we look at this latter group, launched by one Yehuda HaKohen, this is something that to me bears closer inspection. Now, in regard to what Ron Paul has said about Israel, he has provided a statement to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. I read the statement in the context of this total article. I think it's important to see that what Ron Paul has said is something I'm largely in agreement with and is totally consistent with the man's entire record in public life, as near as I can tell. But I, frankly, think that at some point Ron Paul is going to have to go more deeply into this issue, in terms of the plight of the Palestinians. I think that we are not going to be in a position of being able to tap dance around this one too much longer, that when it comes to the plight of the Palestinians and the direct role of the British and the United States and central banking interests in supporting what has happened to American foreign policy in the Middle East in the last 60 years, that at some point Ron Paul is going to have to speak very, very clearly and frankly about the tragedy that has befallen the Palestinian people and the direct role of the United States in perpetrating that tragedy because of Zionist interests. Ron Paul, in my view, at some point is going to have to come up with a stronger and more comprehensive statement on Zionism. Yes, I recognize that that represents a grave danger to him in regard to potentially having the forces trained upon him that were trained upon Pat Buchanan in 1992 and in 1996. I don't mean to minimize the political dangers of the kind of demonization that the Zionist lobby and the American news media is capable of when it comes to trying to destroy a political candidate who is not on board with the tribe and with the team. And yet, having said that, I think it would be a glaring omission, let's put it that way, a glaring omission, if at some point Congressman Paul, in these debates and in the early primaries and caucuses, did not speak more directly to the whole question of Zionism, the whole question of whether or not the state of Israel should have been created from the beginning, whether or not the United States should have supported it, and to what extent the United States bears direct historical responsibility for what has happened to the Palestinian people. There's another aspect of this whole business of Zionism that I think Ron Paul is going to have to talk about at some point. When he chooses to talk about it, of course, is his call. And, of course, whether or not he talks about it is also his call, for that matter. But it seems to me that in terms of consistency, when you start talking about the Constitution and limited government and nationalism and an anti-globalist stance, inevitably that becomes a part of a larger package which by definition has to oppose Zionism, it seems to me. I was talking about this one day with Mark Glenn. He's going to be on the show Friday, by the way, and we'll probably develop this theme a little bit more closely when we chat on Friday. But he and I have talked in the last year or so repeatedly about this whole issue of Zionism. It's not simply a question of withdrawing support for this whole tragedy in the Middle East that pertains to Israeli occupation of Palestine. And it's not simply a question of pulling the United States back from what has been clearly a political and economic and military catastrophe that threatens to mushroom. If, in fact, we attack Iran, and there's a lot of debate as to whether or not that's going to happen now, but if we were to attack Iran, it becomes abundantly clear who the forces are that would be behind that attack. And these are Zionist forces. These are Jewish elements. Mark Lynn's current piece in the American Free Press of November the 12th, I think, simply proves what has already been stated elsewhere. That being the case, Ron Paul is going to, at some point, have to definitively link Israel and Jewish interests in the United States to some of these tragic activities. It's also going to be important at some juncture for Ron Paul to speak openly about a whole series of things that the Zionist entity has been involved with that have created for the United States a historic tragedy of just indescribable proportions. He's going to have to talk about such things as the Lavon affair. He's going to have to talk about who he believes was truly behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Ron Paul is going to have to address this USS Liberty question openly, up front, and directly at some juncture. Who was behind that? What was behind that? And behind the cover-up of that terrifically horrific thing in June of 1967? I don't think the congressman is going to be able to say the kinds of things that he's said up to this point and stand on the very fine voting record that he has without taking the next step into comprehensively understanding the political, economic, and cultural forces that in a most conspiratorial fashion, in my view, have been behind these tragedies, domestic and foreign, especially in the last 100 years of both American and world history. Yes, there are risks in saying these things and in doing these things in a political campaign, no question about it. I can tell you from the vantage point of having run for political office as a third-party candidate in a U.S. Senate race in Delaware that I was just starting to research some of these things when I was running for office. I did not know in the year 2000 nearly as many things on this subject as I know now, thanks to people like Michael Collins Piper and Mark Lynn. But if I were running for political office today, in the context of what has happened since September the 11th, would I be more definitive than Ron Paul in regard to the Zionist entity? Would I be more hard-hitting than he has been up to now in regard to the whole question of Israel? The answer is yes. Now, having said that, I recognize that, in fact, I might be committing political Harry Carey were I to do in a political race what I'm advocating here in the air. I recognize this. Ron Paul is walking a tightrope, it seems to me here, in regard to getting his issues out there in increasingly mainstream circles, and I understand this, and he's doing a fine job of it. I don't want to be overly critical. It may be at some juncture that he is planning on bringing certain things to the fore in the public debate that he can't risk now. So this might be a tactical thing on his part, and if so, I understand that. But when you start talking about the Constitution and the New World Order, you start talking about the Federal Reserve Board and direct federal income taxation on American citizens, you start talking about the tragedy of this interventionist foreign policy around the world, especially in the Middle East, and you start talking about world government. All of these things, in my view, comprehensively dovetail into the larger issue of Zionism and the larger issue of Jewish influence in American political and domestic life in a way that I think provides the overall umbrella explanation for what's happened here. Will Ron Paul take that next step? That remains to be seen. But Mark Lynn and I have also talked about the whole business of Zionism going well beyond just the whole question of Israel's occupation of Palestine and American and British support for that historically. The Zionist entity has also been very, very much involved in the domestic takeover of American governmental institutions and American culture and American media. If we were to get out of the Middle East tomorrow militarily, if we were to pull the plug on foreign aid to Israel tomorrow, both of which I think need to happen, certainly. But if we were to accomplish all of that, we would still be dealing with the much larger issues pertaining to what's going on in this country as it relates to the fundamental change in character of what America is. We think about what it was, what it was designed to be, what it's become. How did we get from point A to point Z? I don't think that we can discuss that very tragic evolution without talking about the whole business of Zionism. Yes, there are political risks in this, I understand. Yes, Ron Paul is trying to avoid being falsely tagged with these racist, anti-Semitic canards that are freely tossed around by the left-wing American media. But by the same token, he runs the risk of not comprehensively leveling with the American people about who and what is really behind all of these tragic things just in the last 100 years. This is a tough call as to when you do it. It's a tough call as to how you do it. It's a tough call as to whether or not you're prepared to take the level of vituperation that's going to come your way if you talk about these issues in the public forum in the way that I think Ron Paul should or will have to between now and the fall of 2008. But he's in a unique position to bring this out to the American public. I hope he does. And I think it's a question of when he does it, tactically and strategically. So we'll keep an eye on this whole thing in the days ahead. But this organization entitled Zionists for Ron Paul, and who is this guy, Yehuda Ha Cohen, being brought to the fore by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency? We've seen this sort of thing before. Let's keep an eye on it and see where it leads. Antiwar.com, by the way, has a very, very interesting lead story or feature story today, which links up to Truth Out. Bill Simpich has an essay entitled Big Win for Ouattara, a study in courage and honor. The post on this is Sunday, the 11th of November, Veterans Day, and Simpich informs us that on Thursday, November 8th, the Honorable Benjamin Settle, a federal court judge, issued a preliminary injunction halting any further court-martial proceedings of First Lieutenant Aaron Ouattara and effectively ruling against the Army on virtually every issue in the case. This injunction not only extends the stay until the conclusion of the habeas corpus proceedings, but also addresses the specific request for relief from further legal proceedings, stating, quote, the remedy sought by petitioner, while rare, is appropriate, unquote. Simpich says that although the Army issued a press release claiming to, quote, look forward to the opportunity to further explain to the district court judge the full extent of the protections and safeguards that are afforded to a military accused, unquote, anyone who glances at the court ruling will agree that the Army's only lingering hope is to appeal this ruling, to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Settle wrote, quote, "For several reasons, it is likely that Lieutenant Watata will succeed on the merits of his double jeopardy claim," unquote. The court held that the military judge acted, quote, "irrationally, irresponsibly, precipitately in failing to consider feasible alternatives to a mistrial, and there was no good reason to stop the proceedings." This ruling came after the repeated refusal of the Military Appeals Court to free Lieutenant Watata of the burden of a second court-martial. Lieutenant Watata's attorneys have consistently argued that the military should not be allowed a quote-unquote do-over. The military judge halted the first court-martial in the wake of admissions by prosecution witnesses regarding Lieutenant Watata's integrity and statements that Lieutenant Watata's decision not to deploy was an act of conscience. Prior to the initial court-martial, Lieutenant Aaron Watata told the Army that he was willing to accept a six-month sentence for his refusal to lead his unit to fight in Iraq, explaining that he could not violate the oath he took as an officer to defend his country, quote, "against all enemies, foreign and domestic," unquote, and that to fight in Iraq would constitute a war crime. The Army responded by trying to make an example of Lieutenant Watata by demanding a six-year sentence. He took away his defenses one by one. They continued to add extra charges. Big win for Watata, a study in courage and honor. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to have Dale Crowley Jr. with us in approximately 5-6 minutes from now, coming to us from Washington, D.C. Going to be talking about some of the usual types of things that Dale and I cover in this segment of the Republic Broadcasting Network, Mark Dankoff's America Show. We want to take a look this morning when he comes on, when Dale comes on, at the what happened at the No More Wars for Israel conference out in Southern California last month. Michael Collins Piper has a bang-up story on this in the American Free Press dated November the 12th. Well worth your time. Mike's essay starts on page 14, continues over to the end of page 15. It will give you some perspective and insight as to what some of the participants in this conference were subjected to out in Southern California. It begs the question as to whether or not we any longer live in a free republic. And, of course, that question is yet to be determined. As we look at that question, we get right back to this Bill Simpich essay in Truthout, which, of course, is posted as the lead story for antiwar.com, The Big Win for Lieutenant Watata, A Study in Courage and Honor. Again, a federal court judge on November the 8th, Benjamin Suttle, has issued a preliminary injunction halting any further court-martial proceedings of First Lieutenant Aaron Watata and effectively ruling against the Army on virtually every issue in the case. And as you look at this whole thing of Lieutenant Aaron Watata, he had told the Army that he was willing to accept a 6-month sentence for his refusal to lead his unit to fight in Iraq, explaining that he could not violate the oath he took as an officer to defend his country, quote, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, unquote, and that to fight in Iraq would constitute a war crime. Very, very interesting here that he has gotten the legal relief, at least for now, that he had sought. And as you look at this whole question, maybe we need to see Lieutenant Watata in juxtaposition with Colin Powell and the latter's pathetic performance before the United Nations and before an international television audience when General Powell brought this so-called case for weapons of mass destruction being possessed by Saddam Hussein into the international arena in a way that has proven subsequently to be absolutely, totally embarrassing. Will Colin Powell's reputation ever recover from that? I don't think so. In this particular circumstance, this Lieutenant Watata stands in complete contradiction to the imagery of Colin Powell 4.5 years ago speaking on international television, making what has proven to be a demonstrably false case for war. The end of the Simpich essay says the Army made an example of Lieutenant Watata. The lieutenant is feared by Judge Head and the Army prosecutors. He portrays the courage it takes to honor one's oath to defend the Constitution. Amazing story. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. will be with us shortly. Stay tuned. With reason.